This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. The snow has been falling for more than a couple of hours now in Boston, with the worst of the blizzard yet to come. Snowfall rates are expected to intensify dramatically overnight, and by the time the storm passes through New England, Boston could be buried in almost 2 feet of snow.
This is a storm of major proportion. Stay off the roads. Stay home. Let the public works crews do their job over the next 48 to 72 hours.
Nothing ever compares to 78. You know, we'll have a lot of snow, we'll have some wind, but, you know. I mean, if you can't take it, move out of New England, really. It's kind of ridiculous.
The message is stay off the street. Stay in your house until this storm is over. It's a very dangerous situation.
He can't dictate what I can do. I live 4 miles down a road that they won't even plow till tomorrow. So if I need something, I'll make sure I get it.
You really can't put a bucket truck in the air when you have wind velocities of 35 to 40 miles an hour. It's too dangerous.
But it's going to be a long storm, so we ask people to set their expectations that we can't get out there and get it all done immediately. But we are going to be working through the weekend to clear the snow to make it safe.
There are hazards under this winter wonderland, and we just want everybody to exercise extreme caution even once the storm ends.
This blizzard could be one of the most intense winter storms to hit Boston in some times. We're going to talk about a lot of things this hour: state preparedness, road conditions, forecasts, how the blizzard might interrupt the food supply, the science of meteorology, and how storms can bring out the best in people, even in the worst weather conditions.
We also want to hear from you, so call us. What are conditions like right now where you are? What are your concerns, and how are you planning to experience this big blizzard? Call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also send us pictures, videos, and tweets. Just tag at WBUR. Well, we're going to begin with how the state is responding to this developing storm. Governor Deval Patrick declared a state of emergency this afternoon, and he banned all cars except for emergency vehicles from state roads, actually from all roads in Massachusetts, beginning at 4 o'clock this afternoon.
The point is, we have to have as many people off the roads as possible if they do not have a role in trying to keep people safe or help us recover as quickly as possible.
That was Governor Deval Patrick making that announcement just a couple hours ago. WBUR's Monica Brady Meyerhoff joins us now from the state's emergency management bunker in Framingham. Hi there, Monica.
Hi, Meghna.
So tell us more about this ban. Does the governor mean all vehicles, and did he say why he felt the need to actually go so far as to sign an executive order?
Well, this hasn't happened since the blizzard of 1978, when Governor Dukakis declared a similar ban, but that was after the snowstorm hit. So this type of declaration, using his power as the governor to basically shut down the roads starting in about an hour, is unprecedented. And he felt like it was just really necessary because of the volume and the speed at which the snow is going to fall later tonight, and that we needed to keep in front of it, he said. There'll be more than 4,000 vehicles out there with plows and sanding and salting, and they need to be able to get through. So he felt like it was important to close down all the roads until further notice. He's giving no time as to when they'll be open again, in order to be able to clean up from this storm as quickly as possible.
I note that the executive order says, of course, that emergency vehicles will be able to be on the roads, and as you mentioned, all those utility and road-working vehicles as well. But for the average person who might find themselves in their car at 4 o'clock, is this ban enforceable, and what's the penalty?
It is enforceable. You might be pulled over and asked to present some sort of identification that would identify you as one of these allowed vehicles, be it a healthcare worker, transportation, public safety, utility. These are the kinds of jobs that, if they're critical to the workings of the state and local government, you'd be allowed to be on the road. If not, you could be open to a $500 fine or up to a year in jail. But the governor said the point is not going to be punitive. This is really just so that everyone takes it very seriously.
So the governor also warned residents about how long recovery efforts might take, given the intensity of the snowfall we're expecting overnight. So here he is again a little earlier today.
2 or 3 feet of snow in this period of time is a profoundly different kind of storm than we have dealt with in the time you and I have been doing this together. And the time to recover and the demands of that recovery, in some respects, we cannot know until the storm is over.
So briefly, Monica, what does this tell us about how prepared the state and state officials feel they are for this storm?
Well, they feel as ready as they can be, but the big concern is power outages. Already, I just got the newest tally. This is really the first tally of this storm. 5,400 customers from all of the electrical companies are out of power. They only expect this to get larger, and that takes a long time to fix, and down power lines could be buried under snow. That's what the governor's trying to warn about in order for everyone to stay safe.
WBUR's Monica Brady-Meyerhoff at the State Emergency Management Bunker in Framingham. Monica, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
So let's check in quickly right now and take a look at current road conditions with Frank DePaola. He's the Highway Administrator for the Massachusetts Department of Transportation. And Frank, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me on.
So give us an update on the situation. First of all, the statewide travel ban, which goes into effect in a little under an hour. How is that affecting travel out there on the roads across the state?
Well, we're hoping it's going to reduce the number of vehicles on the road to those that have to be there for essential purposes. We're trying to open the roads up as much as possible so that we can continue our snow and ice plowing operations to keep the roads passable for emergency service personnel and utility crews.
Any idea when the ban will be lifted, or is this just a question of wait and see how this storm shapes up?
I believe it's going to be a wait-and-see situation. The storm is predicted to last approximately 24, a little bit more hours in intensity. So by tomorrow afternoon, we're hoping that the storm intensity has lessened and that we've gotten ahead of it and the roads are back to decent condition. And then I think the governor, in consultation with other departments, will make that decision.
Frank DePaola, we put the number out and invited callers to call. And I want to go to Kevin, who's calling from Route 3. Hi, Kevin. You're on the air with Frank DePaola.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm on Route 3. There was a couple of accidents that I've seen. Everyone's kind of just going real slow. But the reason I was calling is because I was highly offended by the executive order that was signed. There's enough going on where people need to get things done. People need to go places. There's 1,000 situations that can occur that people actually need to get on the road if they really need to. It should be their own decision, and there shouldn't be threats from the governor of arrest for citizens to get places that they need to go.
All right, Kevin, well, we hear you. Let me let Frank DePaola respond to that. Mr. DePaola, I mean, you heard Kevin there. What should people do who really feel like they have a need to be out on the roads?
Well, if there's an essential need or purpose to the trip, then, of course, people fall within the exceptions to the ban. I think the governor's intent was to reduce dramatically the amount of discretionary travel and casual travel that people are doing, and also to get people to leave work early and to get home and to get off the highways.
All right. Well, Kevin, we appreciate that call. Finally, Mr. DePaola, what's your best advice for drivers who, for whatever reason, find themselves running into trouble out there on the roads this afternoon?
Well, people should lower their speeds. The roads will be slippery for a while. Lower their speeds, take their time, and as long as they do that, they should be able to, with the help of our snow and ice plows, get to their destination and be able to take refuge for safety.
All right. Frank DePaola, Mass DOT's Highway Administrator, thanks so much for joining us today, and good luck.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Once again, we are talking about today's big blizzard and the fact that it's going to intensify overnight. We want to know what conditions are like where you are, what you're experiencing right now, and what your thoughts are for preparedness at the state, local, and your personal level for this big nor'easter that's hitting us right now. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also send us pictures, tweets, just tag everything at WBUR. Well, you just heard that Governor Deval Patrick has banned all road traffic, non-emergency road traffic, starting at 4 o'clock. There's also an impact on public transit riders because in 15 minutes from now at 3:30, the MBTA is scheduled to shut down. And joining us is Beverly Scott. She's the MBTA General Manager. Ms. Scott, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you very much, Magna.
Can you explain to us why you feel the need to shut the MBTA down so completely so early?
This is absolutely extraordinary. There comes a point where I call it, we just call it acts of God, and you just have to respect that, and literally we just, the region hasn't seen anything like this in years and years and years, and at this point in time, with the intensity, also with the gusting winds that have already started and are expected. We just have, number one, have to put safety first.
Ms. Scott, I'm wondering, this snow is going to be intense. It's going to be heavy with the wind gusting the way it is. Drifts are going to be all over the place. I mean, we could end up with mountains many feet high. What's the status of the equipment that the T uses to clear rail lines? Is that all up to snuff and ready to go?
Yes, everything. Our people have been, and thankfully we did have all of us had the advance notice on this one, and so all of the equipment is ready to go. We have our personnel that have been in snow emergency preparations for the better part of this week, and we actually have a new high blower that came in and is having its debut, if you will. And so everything is, you know, we're moving everything that we can, but at the same time, you just have to recognize that there are limitations to what you can do, and the biggest thing is to make sure that we put safety first, safety for our public, our customers, and certainly for our employees as well.
When do you expect services to be up and running again?
Everything is going to depend, Magna. We're going to be watching it very carefully. Right now, everything that we've heard is that it's going to be pretty intense for a 24-hour period, and so I would expect that just depending that we might be able to start with something limited later tomorrow, but that all depends on what winds up happening with the conditions. Mm. We're going to be very much poising ourselves to be able to meet that the rush hour on Monday, okay? And other than that, we're going to be just having to play it by ear in terms of looking and seeing what's happening and let the conditions determine what we do.
And finally, Ms. Scott, I mean, this winter, even though we haven't had a ton of snow until now, cold weather conditions have forced the T to sort of interrupt service a couple times this year already. I'm wondering what you worry about in terms of, you know, the condition of the tracks or the ability of the T to run at maximum capacity with this big weather event.
Well, you're not going to run it. It's not even a question. You're not going to run at maximum capacity, and that is just the reality. It wouldn't make any difference. Actually, at this point in time, when you're dealing with this kind of condition, it wouldn't matter whether you had new equipment, old equipment, or whatever. It doesn't make any difference. When you have conditions where you're going to have 2 and 3 feet of snow, this is just, like I said, there gets to a point where you just have what become those acts of God, and you just have to recognize them, and then you have to be able to have the experience and the good judgment to wind up doing the right thing and not try to push the envelope with heroics, if you will, that at the end of the day, if you wind up putting the public and your customers and your employees at risk, it really was not a prudent judgment.
MBTA General Manager Beverly Scott, thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you so much. And once again, to keep the updates for us, if people will come into our www.mbta.com, and we'll be keeping the latest information. Of course, the city and the state have hotlines as well.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, we're bringing you the latest from around the city and the state about the approaching storm, which is expected to be a big one. If you've got observations, questions, or anything to share, you can join us at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. All hour long. Snowfall rates are expected to pick up with every passing hour, with the most intense part of the blizzard hitting us overnight. Joining us now is meteorologist Mark Rosenthal. He's got the latest on this storm. And Mark, this is an interesting storm for people who have a passion for following storms, and I guess that includes you. Tell us about it. Tell us what you're seeing right now.
Well, you know, something. First of all, Boston is the world series of weather. We have four distinct seasons, and this is the Mecca right here. And this is one of the games that we're on. I'll tell you, I'm looking at radar right now, and we're noting a heavy band of snow. It looks like it's snowing at the rate of probably 2 to 3 inches an hour from eastern Long Island, Block Island, coming into Martha's Vineyard, as shown on radar. And that's moving north-northwest at about 20 miles an hour. The snow is beginning to pick up, and I feel within the next 1 to 2 hours, we're going to have blizzard conditions here in Boston. Here's the other thing that's happening, very interesting, is that there's a pseudo-Arctic cold front just to the north of Boston. The temperature in Bedford, Massachusetts, has fallen from 30 down to 20, and that's going to be spilling south over the next several hours. Boston right now, as of 3 o'clock, is 32 degrees with moderate snow, but it's a wet snow. And once the temperature starts to plummet, it's going to be a powder blizzard out there. The wind now from the east at Logan Airport is already gusting to 40 miles an hour, and the winds will become a big factor tonight. We are in for an all-out blizzard all night long in Boston.
And when we wake up tomorrow morning, what's your best guess? What do the latest models tell us about how much snow is going to be on the ground out there?
Well, really, you know, depending when you wake up tomorrow morning, say if you wake up around 7 or 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, there's going to be about 20 inches of snow on the ground in Boston. And before all said and done, we're going to have between 20 and 30 inches of snow on the ground in and around the greater Boston area. I'm sure there'll be pockets of 3 feet. We just can't, pencil that in yet. But it's going to be a widespread 1.5 to 2.5 foot snowfall from Boston, Worcester, Hartford, Springfield, out towards the Cape and the Islands. Now, the other problem tonight is going to be the high tide. Of course, we have a coastal flood warning posted. The high tide is coming just before 10 o'clock tonight. Mm. And you add on a northeast wind picking up 35 with gusts to 75 miles an hour. And you're going to have a storm surge of 2 to 3 feet. So that could be a moderate coastal flooding event, which we're going to have to follow hour by hour here.
All right. That's meteorologist Mark Rosenthal. Talk to you again later this hour. Thanks so much.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, if you've been channel surfing recently, you've seen quite a few predictions on how much snow we're going to get, what times will be the worst to travel, and how long it's going to last. And in fact, weather forecasting has come a long way in the past few years. And joining us right now to talk a bit about the art and science of weather forecasting is Kerry Emanuel. He's a professor of meteorology at MIT. And welcome back to Radio Boston, Kerry Emanuel. Good to have you.
Yeah, nice to be here.
There's a sense, we were talking about this in the morning meeting, that weather forecasting really has come a long way in recent years. I remember, for example, the blizzard of 78 sort of crept up and surprised people. This doesn't seem to be happening this time around. How good are our weather forecasts these days across the U.S.?
Well, the good news is that they're increasingly good. We started to improve weather forecasting when we introduced numerical weather prediction in the 1960s, and that's been an amazing success story. The skill of weather forecasts all around the world, actually, has improved slowly but steadily and meaningfully for the last four decades or so.
Hmm. Well, there are various models out there. There are various folks sort of offering predictions. What do you recommend? Which weather forecast should we believe? The Weather Channel, NOAA, Channel 5, WBUR, which forecast do you trust the most?
Well, that's the $60,000 question. Experience with listening to all of these different opinions and looking at all sorts of different models over many years shows that your best bet actually is to take kind of an average across all of these different forecasts. When we do that systematically, we find that that consensus forecast usually beats all the individual forecasts. So forecasting is one of those very rare things that is actually done better by committee than by individuals.
Sounds like it's a little bit of art. I mean, I know it's a lot of science, but a little bit of art in there as well, it sounds like.
Well, it is, and I think the art is bringing to bear on an interpretation of things like numerical weather forecasts, the whole experience base that professional meteorologists have. They've seen situations that resemble this before. They bring that in consciously or unconsciously, and they usually make the forecast better that way.
I'm curious, too, I mean, how it varies around the world. I mean, the Europeans have a model, the Germans have one, the UK has one, the U.S. Navy, Air Force, and civilian world has one. There are a lot of approaches to forecasting weather out there, aren't there?
That's right. There are a lot of models, and there always have been, and the same thing can be said of models that I said a minute ago about people, that actually if you are cleverly average together lots of these different models, particularly the better ones, you often get a product that's better than any one model. But there are models that consistently outperform other models.
And how will forecasting change in the coming year? Sort of where are we headed with this art and science?
Well, one of the things that we're doing that I find very exciting and my colleagues do is that we're getting better and better at forecasting how good the forecast will be. Now, I know that sounds a little bit strange, but everybody knows that there's no such thing as a perfect forecast. What may be a little less obvious is that in one situation, we might be able to issue a very accurate forecast 3 or 4 days ahead of time, and in another situation, we might find it hard to get it right even 24 hours out. So that's situation dependent, and we have techniques now that allow us to forecast how accurate our forecasts should be, and that could be valuable information.
Finally, Professor Emanuel, I'm just wondering, what are you hearing? What do you observe? Sort of what's your overall comment as we sort of brace ourselves for this coming storm? And in the context of this conversation about forecasts, what strikes you about this coming storm?
Well, I think the only thing to say about it is, first of all, it's been a while since we had a big snowstorm here in southern New England, so we're having to get revved up and get used to it again. It's a big storm as they go. I'm not sure it will break the records of the 78 storm, but in some places it might come close to that. Very well forecast. The forecasters have really been on top of it, and the forecasters have coordinated wonderfully well with government and so forth, which has led, for example, to keeping people off the street. That's going to keep injuries and other things down in the storm, one hopes.
All right. Kerry Emanuel, professor of meteorology at MIT. Thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
You're quite welcome.
We are talking about the big blizzard that's bearing down on New England right now, and we want to know what it's like where you are. What are you seeing? What are you experiencing? What are you thinking about this big nor'easter of 2013? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Let's go to Susan, who's calling from Massachusetts General Hospital. Susan, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm just calling to say that I packed my toothbrush in my overnight bag, and I'm here at Mass General, and I'm prepared to stay until the streets are cleared, maybe Sunday, maybe Monday. They've got accommodations for us to sleep over if we need to. I'm a night nurse, so I'll be working all night. But there's a lot of healthcare workers out there who are prepared to do whatever it takes to keep everybody safe during the storm.
Well, Susan, first and foremost, we're grateful for the fact that you're there and ready on standby for anyone who might need you and all the other healthcare workers in the region as well. But let me ask you, what's it like at the hospital in general? Are they sort of on a heightened state of alert? Anything special that they're doing to prepare for, you know, who knows what eventuality in the next 24 to 48 hours?
Well, as usual, I think they make accommodations for people who can't get out to go home overnight in the storm. There are places where people can bunk down and, you know, an extra toothbrush and some toothpaste. And, you know, the cafeteria is open 24 hours, so, you know, we're all going to get fed, and we'll be here to take care of whatever happens. I work in obstetrics, and people have babies even in the middle of snowstorms, so we'll be there to take care of them.
Looking forward to hearing about blizzard babies born in the next couple of hours. Susan, stay safe, and thank you so much for your call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Listeners, we're talking about the blizzard, the science, the emotion, the forecasting, the travel conditions all around this storm. Stay with us. There's a lot more when we come right back in just about a minute. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Here's the latest on the big blizzard hitting New England right now. Governor Deval Patrick has declared a state of emergency, and all non-emergency vehicle traffic will be banned on Massachusetts roads starting at 4 p.m. The MBTA shuts down at 3:30 p.m. NSTAR has activated its highest emergency response level. The utility company warns that tens, maybe hundreds of thousands of customers could lose power in the coming storm.
Concerns are even greater in coastal communities. They may have to deal with a major storm surge as the blizzard peaks tonight. Here's Weather Channel's Mike Seidel. He was on Revere Beach this morning.
We're expecting 12-plus foot waves crashing on the shore here. These big breakers and wind gusts 50, 60, maybe 70 miles an hour will throw that sea spray back inland. And with temperatures falling tonight and tomorrow, we'll have some freezing sea spray.
Well, WBUR's senior reporter David Boeri is in Scituate, and he joins us now. Hi there, David.
Hi, Meg. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, and what are you seeing?
You know, it's interesting. The temperature has been hovering at 32 for the last several hours. There's very little snow accumulation. The one thing that is remarkable is that the wind is blowing in here sideways, and it's a heavy blow. Out in the, I'm looking out toward the Atlantic, you know, it's low tide, high tide, it's 9 o'clock tonight. It's angry out there. The problem, of course, is Scituate is in low water. Flooding is traditional here. There have been all sorts of storms, all kinds of flooding in the past. The big surge is expected tomorrow morning about 10 o'clock. That's the problem. Police are trying to get everybody evacuated from those coastal areas this afternoon. They're going to shut down the roads, all those coastal roads, at 6 o'clock to everything but emergency traffic. And we're waiting.
David, I was looking at pictures of how hard Scituate had been hit in the blizzard of 78. I mean, just heartrending photographs of homes that had been ripped right off their foundations and basically destroyed all along the water. Is that memory sort of haunting folks in the town?
Yeah, you know, that led to a lot more high-rises. By high-rises, I mean homes built on stilts. It's the thing now. It's, in fact, required for all homes out on the coast to be on pilings, big pilings, you know, 10, 12 feet tall. And those, all those homes on the beach out there, out toward Scituate Light, for instance, are all lined up cheek by jowl. In the last couple of storms, there were a couple of breaches in the walls. We've seen some of the property going out into the Atlantic with those high storm surges. And, you know, we're going to see what's happening. But covering so many storms, what I always remember is beware the hype and watch for the results. And when you see with the results, caution, of course, is good. We'll see what happens, especially tomorrow at 10. But the snow certainly hasn't accumulated like was predicted to accumulate. Maybe that barometric pressure has dropped fast, but mm-hmm. We'll see.
David Boeri, we look forward to hearing your reporting from Scituate as the storm evolves. Thanks so much for joining us today, David.
You're welcome.
Let's go to a caller who's calling from another coastal community. Mariah is on the line. You're on the air, Mariah.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. What's it like in Beverly right now?
It's snowy. There's about maybe 3 inches, and it's, of course, still coming down. My family's, we've gotten everything prepared. We've got some meals cooked and some logs for the fireplace in case the power goes out. But my favorite transportation when it snows is cross-country skis. So I'm looking forward to a lot of snow, the roads being closed and cars not being on them, and getting my toddler into his skis and heading out and going for a ski.
That sounds like a terrific way to spend maybe Sunday after the blizzard itself passes.
Exactly. Once everything has kind of calmed down, we'll be out on our skis.
Well, Mariah, thanks so much for your call.
All right, well, enjoy.
And if you've got something to add, observations, questions, tell us what you're seeing out there. Give us a call, 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also find us on Facebook. You can send us a tweet. We're at Radio Boston. Now, as we've been reporting, Governor Patrick has ordered all cars, with the exception of emergency vehicles, off the road starting at 4 p.m. That's just about 25 minutes away. WBUR's Lynn Joliker is out on the Mass Turnpike right now. She's been talking to folks at the rest area in Westboro. Lynn, thanks for joining us.
No problem. Hi, Anthony.
Hello there. How are the roads right now? Tell us what you're seeing.
Well, the conditions are definitely not good. I've certainly seen it worse before, but there's plenty of snow on the pike, and it's definitely slow going. I'm actually at the scene of a pretty bad accident on the pike on the Westboro-Upton line. A tractor-trailer truck jackknifed into a pickup truck and actually forced the pickup truck off the road into one of those high rock ledges on the side of the road. And the driver of the pickup truck told me he was pinned in his truck and some smoke was starting to come in. He actually had to punch out a window to get out.
And of course, when
there was going to be a fire.
Right. So, of course, when we hear the governor banning all vehicles from the road starting at 4 p.m., this is precisely the kind of situation that he hopes to avoid. Are you finding that folks are heeding the governor's warnings in general to stay off the roads?
Well, again, there are still some vehicles on the road that would be considered non-essential. At this point, most of the ones I'm seeing go by are tree service trucks, utility trucks, but there are still some normal passenger vehicles going by. But I did talk to some people at the rest area on the Mass Pike in Westboro a short time ago, and they said they were trying to get home because they knew they weren't supposed to be on the road. At that point, the people I spoke with didn't know about the ban. But here's one I spoke with. He's John Johnson from Sturbridge, and he was heading back home to Sturbridge from work in Marlboro.
He can't dictate what I can do. I live 4 miles down a road that they won't even plow till tomorrow, so if I need something, I'll make sure I get it.
But in terms of being on the highways, trying to prevent a situation like in 78, can you understand that?
No, but I'm probably not a fair one to ask because my town existed on snowmobiles in the blizzard of 78. So, and I have four snowmobiles now, so I'm ready.
A hearty New England soul there, Lynn, I guess.
Exactly. So, again, he thinks it's a little bit too extreme to be saying there can be no non-essential vehicles on the road. But we spoke with others who said, although it seems a little far-fetched and they've never heard of it before, certainly it does make some sense.
Well, many thanks. That's WBUR's Lynn Joliker reporting from the Massachusetts Turnpike out near Westboro. Thanks, Lynn.
You're welcome, Anthony.
We're talking about the big nor'easter that's hitting New England right now. We still want to know, always want to know, how you're experiencing it. What are you seeing where you are? Do you think the state's prepared? Do you think your local authorities are prepared? And do you feel prepared for the snow and for the conditions and possibly for many thousands of people not having power for several days? Call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Now, one of the aspects of preparedness which often elicits both groans and giggles is the fact that there's a lot of rush shopping that happens before a blizzard. So did you rush out to your local supermarket earlier today to stock up on those essentials? A lot of people did. Our intern Ava Aguado talked with shoppers at several grocery stores not far from our studios.
Hi, I'm Carolyn McCall. I'm from Jamaica Plain, and I've been in this slow-moving line for about an hour. I've gotten to meet everybody in the store. It's been really nice.
Well, I'm Erin Hightower, and I'm actually from Florida. I moved up here about a year ago. This is way better than a hurricane because your milk won't go bad.
I'm Clara Pedley. I'm from Vermont. I'm stocking up for the storm.
What are you buying today?
Looks like some staples. We have wine, beer, and tequila.
Hi, I'm Sue Sturman, and I'm from Brookline. I had the kids finish their homework yesterday, so we can just chill this weekend. You know, we're tough. We're New Englanders. We can deal, you know, so we'll dig ourselves out.
We will dig ourselves out, of course. But a temporary run on milk and eggs is one thing. Another thing is, could this blizzard interrupt the food supply for more than a few days? Well, joining us now is Steve Sylvan. He's a spokesperson for Shaw's and Star Market stores. Thanks for being with us today, Steve.
Thanks for having me.
Now, I understand that as of 3 o'clock, is it Shaw's and Star Market locations in Massachusetts have been closed?
That's correct. In advance of the governor's issued state of emergency, we have closed all of our Shaw's and Star Markets in Massachusetts at 3 p.m. We also will be planning on closing the remainder of our stores throughout the rest of New England by 6 p.m. today. Of course, obviously, all in the name of safety.
Do you know when you might reopen?
At this time, we don't know. What we'll do is, obviously, we'll roll through the storm tonight and into tomorrow, and then we'll begin to evaluate where we stand, both from a store standpoint and certainly from a distribution center standpoint in the morning.
Now, did you see the run on those essentials, the milk, eggs, breads, whatever, in the stores in the past 24 hours?
Yeah, it's definitely been a very busy last 24 hours or so. We've at Shaw's, we've been around for 150 years, so we've certainly lived through our fair share of weather events like these, and we like to think that we're pretty well versed in handling these type of events. And really, we work hard as an organization to try and help customers get the supplies that they need in advance of the storm. But certainly, I think a lot of people really heeded the warnings. I think, this coming so, close to almost 35 years after the blizzard of 78, people were listening and they were getting out there. So there was a lot of bread being purchased, a lot of water being purchased, a lot of milk being purchased. And, we've tried to do our best to keep up with it. It's been a challenge, but we like to think we've met that.
Now, Mr. Sylvan, what I'm curious about is, I understand that especially for sort of stores in urban locations, the stores themselves never have more than what, a day or two worth of food in stock in the store, and you need to have those deliveries from the distribution centers to keep things on the shelves. So in the event that, we do get that 2, possibly 3 feet of snow and roads may become impassable for a day or two, if not more, could this interrupt the supply chain between, farmers, the distribution centers, and what people can get in their local grocery store? And how long might that interruption last?
I think it's probably too early at this point to speculate on how long a possible interruption could last. I think with events like this, it obviously all becomes contingent to your point of just, you know, how quickly the plows, you know, within all the states, you know, up and down the East Coast corridor really can kind of open up those roads. So, you know, if we can get the food into the distribution centers, you know, certainly we can then get it out to our stores. That isn't to say also that, you know, our distribution centers also still have food. So, you know, once, from our perspective, you know, once the storm passes and we're able to safely get drivers out on the road, we think we'll be able to, you know, start stocking up. It's not to say that we'll be able to stock up, you know, at a normal schedule right away, but as long as something's not too catastrophic, we should see, hopefully, not too much of an interruption.
I am curious, though, and this is my last question for you, how much of a disturbance does it take to really interrupt that supply chain? I mean, it seems like it works on most accounts, but there also have been days where, you know, for example, something far away from New England might happen that might interrupt deliveries here.
You're right. I think the last time, obviously, that we saw any sort of interruption on a wide scale was certainly, you know, last, you know, when Sandy came through. We did definitely see some delays in, you know, getting that product into the distribution centers, which in turn could delay, you know, getting things out into the stores. So I think from our standpoint, you know, at this point, it's we've prepared for it. Like I said, the Massachusetts stores are closing it, have closed already. We'll be closing the remainder of our stores at 6 o'clock. As an organization, we'll continue to monitor this. And, you know, I think at this point we'll just hope that the storm has as little impact as possible and that everybody stays safe out there.
Steve Sylvan is a spokesperson for Shaw's and Star Markets. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, it's often said that storms like this can bring out the best in people. So we're going to share a story about just that. And we hope it will add a little warmth on this cold winter day as we brace for the big blizzard.
Steve Berkman submitted the story to WBUR's Kind World Project. It's a blog that celebrates the kindness of strangers. Just after they were married, Steve and his wife were driving in the mountains of Wyoming when they were suddenly caught in a major and dangerous snowstorm.
My wife and I were on our honeymoon, and we had this souped-up 84 Westie camper, and we had decided that we were going to travel across the country for our honeymoon in the camper. And we got to Wyoming, and we decided to take the scenic route, which went up into the Bighorn Mountains. So we started heading up these mountains, and then it started to rain a little, and it started to get cold, and then it began to snow. I remember some cattle heading down the mountain, which probably should have been our first indication that we should get out of there. And within like 5 minutes, we were in a complete whiteout, and it was clear that this was going to be just a complete disaster. And then, like, a gust of wind just hit the side of the camper and actually, like, spun the camper all the way around so that we were traveling down this mountain backwards. I'm not a very religious person, but I remember saying, like, okay, God, you know, it's up to you. It's your call at this point. So it seemed like forever, but it was probably like a few seconds later we hit the side of the road, rolled the camper upside down onto a side of the road that happened to have a side to it, and wound up stopping upside down. My wife, who's a much quicker thinker than I am, was able to, like, hop into the road. I remember thinking, like, oh, wow, that's amazing that she was able to get all our wedding gifts out of the car and laid out on the road like that. But, of course, she hadn't. They had just flown out of the vehicle. Fortunately, a car came within 5 or 10 minutes, and the guy stopped, and he was training to be a fireman, so we knew we were in good hands. And he helped us pack up his car with whatever we needed and took us down the mountain into Lovell, Wyoming. We did go to the hospital to get checked out. We were okay. And the nurse drove us back to the hotel. And I asked, you know, how do we get out of here? The nearest car rental place is out in Cody, Wyoming, which is 50, 60 miles from where we were. And so the nurse was like, well, I'm going out that way anyway. I'll give you a ride. So I don't think she was going that way anyway. I think she was just doing it to be nice and to help us get on with our honeymoon. This experience definitely taught me that there's always going to be somebody to help you, no matter where you are, because we were in the middle of nowhere on a mountain in the middle of a freak snowstorm, and here's a fireman in training coming to our rescue. but there it is.
There it is. Steve Brickman sharing his story with Kind World, a WBUR blog celebrating the kindness of others, reminding us it's not all bad news as we brace for the blizzard. Nice things can happen. We invite you to tell your Kind World story. Find more information at radioboston.org.
And if you have other stories to share with us right now, you can also call 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Share a story about this blizzard if you've got one. And stay with us. There's much more Radio Boston coming up. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston. This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We're talking about the big nor'easter that it's bearing down on Boston and New England right now. In just about 10 minutes, the vehicular ban that Governor Deval Patrick has instituted on Massachusetts roads for non-emergency vehicles will kick in. So that's at 4 o'clock. No driving on Massachusetts roads for non-emergency vehicles. Let's get a check-in with current weather conditions and what we might see as the afternoon wears on from meteorologist Mark Rosenthal. Hi, Mark. Good to hear from you again.
Hi. Thank you. Glad to be back.
So give us an update from what you told Anthony a little earlier. Anything new about what might happen, in the immediate coming hours?
Well, yes, we see the weather going downhill very quickly. We're following radar right now. A wall of very heavy snow is moving onto the New England South Coast from probably Long Island Sound through southern Connecticut, almost up to Providence, moving through Cape Cod, and even south of that. I'm looking at yellow banding on radar, which is a signature of very intense precipitation. How it relates to snowfall? Well, that's our snowfall of 1, 2, 3 inches an hour, and that's coming into Boston over the next couple of hours. The other thing we talked about was that there's a pseudo-Arctic front just north of town. Boston's temp still running in low 30s, but once you get out to Bedford and north of there, temperatures fall into the upper teens and low 20s. And that's very important because once that Arctic air comes into Boston, the content of the snow is going to change quickly from a heavy, wet, cement-like snow to a dry powder blizzard. And that's what we're talking about overnight. So the weather is going downhill. I would say by 6, 7 o'clock, it's going to be a raging blizzard in the greater Boston area with zero visibility and high winds.
Hey, Mark, just one quick question. I've read, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but I've read that one of the reasons why this blizzard is so intense or will be so intense is because there's a storm coming in from, you know, across the Midwest, plus another one full of wet air coming up the coast from Florida, and they're basically colliding right over us. How is that true, and how, you know, unusual is that?
Well, it's not that unusual. What's happening in the world of meteorology is you're looking at the Arctic jet stream or the northern jet stream merging with the subtropical jet stream. So basically at the surface, it's the cold meeting the warm. The warm, you know, jet streams merging with the cold jet stream. You have a lot of upward lift in the atmosphere, and it's ringing it out in the form of snow over New England. Now, the other classic thing that you need is cold high pressure over Quebec, and that's what's going on right now. Lots of times when you get cold highs in eastern Canada, they'll slide out over the Maritimes. So what that does is it would create the wind in Boston from more of an east-southeast direction, bringing warmer air in from the ocean. But this time with a high located straight north, it's a northeast wind draining the Arctic air down from northern New England. So all the ingredients to make the blizzard cake has to come together, and that's what we're seeing right now.
Meteorologist Mark Rosenthal keeping us up to date on weather conditions throughout the day and into the evening. Mark, thanks so much.
Sure, thank you.
As we've been reporting in just a few minutes, roads in Massachusetts will be officially closed, so we hope you're home safe. If you're still on the roads, please be safe and know that in just a few minutes, the roads will be closed to all cars except emergency vehicles. Here in Boston, the MBTA has already shut down, and joining us now from the Park Street Station is WBUR reporter Kurt Nickisch. Hi, Kurt.
Hi, Anthony.
So tell us what you're seeing out there at Park Street.
Well, nothing. I mean, it's surreal. I'm in Park Street Station at almost 4 o'clock on a Friday. It's normally when everybody's running home, and it is dead. I mean, there are a couple of trains standing on standby just to sort of waiting for the last connections from the Red Line to arrive, and occasionally those trains will come in, and people will sort of rush out of the, you know, where you descend down to the Red Line, and they'll run up and look to see if their train, you know, the last train outbound or the last, the last train to Government Center is on its way, and they'll jump in and off they go. And Right now, I can count maybe a dozen people in the station.
So no sense that commuters or would-be commuters were stranded there as the MBTA closed down at 3:30.
No, and I also don't feel like people were stressed by it, besides these, you know, last few folks who were worried about turning into pumpkins. They did have a lot of warning about it. They knew, you know, yesterday that it was going to be closing down at 3:30. Employers knew to send people home. And I think the people who were really stuck were ones who were at businesses that had to, you know, keep servicing people. The line at the McDonald's at South Station was super long with people getting stuff there, and I don't know how those workers are going to get home because they were serving the last folks who were waiting around in the train station.
All right, that's WBUR reporter Kurt Nickisch enjoying a rare moment of quiet at the Park Street MBTA station. Thanks, Kurt.
You got it.
You know, we've just got a couple minutes left in the show here, and before we wrap up, Anthony, I wanted to ask you, you know, we're going to be off the air in Radio Boston here in about 2 minutes. How are you going to experience the rest of this storm, or what are you going to do?
How am I going to experience the rest of this storm? I'm probably going to figure out how to get home without a car. It's not a long walk. It'll be a couple of miles, I guess, over to East Somerville. So that's what I'm going to do. And then when I get there, make sure the snowblower is operating and, you know, pour myself a nice tall one and kick back.
You know, this is I've been living in the region now for going on 14, 15 years. This is probably the third or fourth really big one that we've experienced in the time that I've been here. And I have to say, no matter how much it's fun to groan and gripe about utilities and those are legitimate groans and gripes, I have to say, and road conditions, et cetera, I never fail to be impressed by the effort that goes in to do things like clear roads and get stores up and running. And, you know, people do end up being quite neighborly.
I think that's true. I think it's important that we cover the risks, remind people of the dangers. But, hey, a big storm is fun. A big storm is exciting. Kids stay home from school. I think you have a lot more sort of good humor and happiness out there at events like this. And it's nice to keep that in mind as well.
It's one of the best aspects of New England and New Englanders, I have to say. And my little girl who kept saying yesterday, last night, "Snowpocalypse, Mama!" We're getting ready to go sledding on Sunday. Fingers crossed. Well, everybody out there who's been listening this hour, thank you so much. Please do stay safe, be smart, look after yourselves and your family. Emergency workers, hospital workers, road workers, everyone who's on the job, thank you so much. Stay safe as well. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at Boston.com.
I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Join us again on Monday, probably a snowy Monday, for more Radio Boston.